Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning because your mercies are new every morning. And so we do live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. God has been prayed already. Lord, we need to hear what you have to say, not what I have to say. So we're depending on the Holy Spirit to speak through me. We're depending on the Holy Spirit to open our ears that we hear exactly what the Spirit is saying. We bind that spirit, that evil spirit that would twist the word, that would hide the word, that would in any way change the word, but that the word would reach the mark, it would reach the heart, and as you promised, to write it on our hearts, put it in our minds, so it becomes part of us, and we become part of that word. We just trust you to do that this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to John chapter 9, verse 4. And Jesus said, well, let's go to 3. They asked Jesus, you know, does this man sin or his parents? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man. I must work the works of him that sent me. You and I are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been called, chosen of God. But he also chooses us for a reason. And we're going to see that today through the Spirit. We're going to see that there's a purpose for us being here on the earth. And he has particular things that he wants us to do. Jesus, these works that Jesus did were not just random things that he happened to run into. These were things that God had scheduled from the very beginning. Because God in the beginning knows what the end is. And he knows about your life. He knows about my life. And he has these things scheduled for us. People to meet. People to pray for. Things to do. And when we follow him, he leads us in this path where we hit these different things. It's like a game. I don't play games on the computer, but it's like a game. Like you go here and you do this, and you go here and you do that. But God's got this mapped out for us as if we just follow him and follow his spirit. So let's go to John chapter 5, starting in verse 19. John 5, 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, the Father that is, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now we are all the sons of God. We are all the children of God, and God loves us. The Bible tells us that. And God, so God loves us too. And God wants us to know what he has planned for our lives. He wants us to know. It's the will of God that we know what he wants us specifically to do. We're not to lean unto our own understanding. Now he goes on, he says in 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. You got to keep reading because it seems like, oh, Jesus raised whoever he wanted to. No. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Well, see, Jesus is the one that judges. Well, you're going to see later that it isn't just Jesus. That all the men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. It's Jesus said one place, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives my Father that sent me. So if they reject you, there's not just rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. Not rejecting, just rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting the Father. Because if you go when Jesus sent you, it's them that they're rejecting. And when you give them his word, it's not your word that they're rejecting, it's his word. And so when we go, we want to go with his word. And we want that, you know, that anointing, that spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Okay, for the Father judgeth no man, but he committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death into life. Now verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Because he is the Son of Man. My tongue wants to say the Son of God. But see, Jesus gave us authority also. Right? These signs shall follow them that believe. So when he says, I have all authority, I've been given all authority, I give it to you. So here's the Father. He's saying, as the Father hath life in himself, so is he given to the Son to have life in himself. Actually, you have life in you, and I have life in me. We have eternal life in us. It's been born in there by not us, but by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? It's God's life in us. Christ is living in you. The Spirit of Christ is living in me. Okay. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is a Son of Man. We're here, and we're not going to go through that today, but he's been speaking to me about we're here to execute judgment. Justice. To bring justice on the earth. How many know the world isn't fair? And we don't always, people don't always judge righteously. Amen? We see it today. I mean, they exalt the evil. They give praise to the evil. And anybody that stands up and tries to do what is right, they want to knock them down. They don't want to accept it. They come against anything that's good. They come against anything that's of God. Because it's not the spirit in those people. It's not the spirit of the people exactly. It's the spirit of this world that's in the people. Amen? And it wants to take them to hell. God wants to turn them around, wants to bring them in. So marvel not at this, for the hour is coming and now in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. They that have done something, they've done good, done evil. You know, I was naked and you fed me. Or I was naked. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was in jail and you visited me. And some of them said, well, when did we see you? We didn't see you. They didn't know that they did it. They weren't taking knowledge of the fact that they did it. But they were being led of God, and so they weren't keeping count. Love doesn't keep count. It doesn't say, well, I did this for you, I did that for you, so you owe me this. We don't go to God and say, you owe me this. It's my right to God. If we got what we right, what we deserve, we wouldn't make it. But we get what we don't deserve. We got grace. Okay. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. So here he says, you know, the judgment was given to him, whoever he wills, but he says, I'm not doing anything of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because the reason is I'm not seeking my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So that tells me that I am not to seek my own will, but I am to seek the will of the one who sent me. Amen? We're to seek his will. What do you want? What do you say about this situation? How do you want me to judge in this situation? It's hard. Because we all have opinions. There is a verse that says our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. Peter objected when Jesus said, well, I'm going to go to the cross, and this is going to happen to me, and that's going to happen to me. He said, not so, Lord, not to you. No, 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 not to you. In Peter's eyes, it's more advantageous for you to stay here and heal more people and deliver more people and raise them from the dead. But if he did that, how many people would make it to heaven? Nobody, right? Right? The blood had to be shed. And so Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest not the things that be of God, but they that be of man. So my thoughts my fleshly thoughts are not lining up with God, what God wants. And so what I need to do is submit myself to God continually. And that's why Paul said, I die daily, because I have to die daily. Because every morning I wake up, there's new thoughts that come. There's new things that the enemy has planned in my life. But as I continually submit to him, the more I submit to him, the more he's able to do in me and through me. Then I can resist the devil and he will flee. Because I'm not seeking my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Amen? It's not like God said, okay, I give you a choice. You can either go down to the bush in Africa or you can go to Hawaii. You know, which one do you want to go to? I believe Hawaii. It didn't take me long. No. But we just can't do what we think is the best. We've got to do what God thinks is the best. And he was connected to his father. Even when his friend Lazarus was sick. And his friends, you know, his close friends send for him and say, come, your friend Lazarus is sick. And he doesn't do anything. Just stays there a couple more days. Hey, man. You know, that's what that, friends are. Friends that drop everything and they go right away. No, not when God says, wait. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, he was the son of God and he knew what God wanted. You know, he was also the son, he was the son of man. But he was connected with his father. Amen? I see my father work and I work. I hear my father's words and that's what I speak. And that's what I want. This is what I desire. I want to do that. It's not easy because I have opinions and I have thoughts that come up inside of me. But I got to take those thoughts into captivity. I've got to die to what I want. I want to hear, what do you want, God? We're going to see that later on. Okay, now we jump down to verse 36. But I have greater witness than of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish. The works that the Father hath given me to finish. It's like, okay, I'm going to send you out today and I want you to do this. And Bill hands this over to Chris and say, okay, I want these things done, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what I want done. And so, oh my goodness, I'll never have time to run down to Altoona to the donut shop if I do all this. But if he wants paid, he's got to do what his father tells him to do. Amen? I'm theorizing here, okay? Nobody's perfect. I used to accuse a guy that would deliver to me, you know, every once in a while. He was kind of big here and had a big beard and everything. I said, hey, they said you'd be here at 10 o'clock. And he said, well, you know. Of course, he was holding a coffee cup. It means he stopped at Dunkin' Donuts on the way through and got a donut and a coffee. But Jesus didn't take the time to get a donut and a coffee when his father. He had this, works were given to him. For the works which the Father hath given to me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Well, that was Jesus. If he did what the Father told him to do, much more I need a list. I need to know what he wants me to do. And actually, God made a way for that because he gave me of the Spirit. And that Spirit is to lead me and guide me into all truth. Amen? So I don't have to speak of myself. But it's just tempting to lean on your own understanding. Or like Philip, he goes down to Samaria and has all these miracles and things happen and a revival's going on. And then the Spirit says, go to the desert. There ain't nobody in the desert, right? Why would God tell him to go to the desert? Why would God tell Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only son, when that was the seed of promise? Amen? Isn't that what he wanted more than anything else? You're going to bless me with this and that and the other thing? Wait a minute, I don't have any heir. There's this Eliezer of Damascus, he's going to be my heir because I don't have any kids. That's the biggest thing I need. Oh, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. Just wait. Just wait. And then he gives it to him. And then a little later, You know, some people said he was 20, 25 years old. I don't know. That's Isaac, not Abraham. But he did it. How could he do it? Not in the flesh. Amen? But again, the promises are, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So that tells me I got to stay in close to God. I got to get into, I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing towards that mark. I want to get closer and closer to God. So because I can't, my flesh cannot do what God wants me to do all the time. It doesn't want to do what God wants me to do. But the Spirit in me wants to do it. And if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but I will fulfill the will of God. Because the Spirit will lead me in God. And there's scriptures for that, but we don't have time for that now. Okay, 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures. Now, in the King James, it says search the scriptures, but in the other translations, it says you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that teach, that testify of me. You will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor of men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, him you will receive. We also know that in the love chapter, it says, you can have faith to move mountains, but if you have not love, it profiteth you nothing. You can sell all that you have and give your body to be burned. If you have not love, it's nothing. Amen? Amen? Amen. Who's love? God's love. And the first thing I'm supposed to love with God's love is God. Amen? And then my neighbor as myself. Amen? Right? So no matter what I do, if I'm not loving God, then even if I'm raising the dead, even if I'm moving mountains, even if I'm selling all that I have and giving it to the poor, if I'm not doing what God wants me to do, I'm really not loving God, because they that love God will keep his commandments. Not just what's written here, but what he's telling me to do today. Today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart. My heart sometimes tends to get hardened. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Well, then I got to cry out to God, help me. Help me change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Change me. I want to forgive me, Lord. Help me. It's like the man, you know, if you can believe, Jesus said, and he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He didn't say, well, that's sorry, you don't have it. No. He delights in giving us what we need, but we got to ask for it. First, you got to admit you need it. You got to be honest with God. I mean, he knows your heart more than you know it, and you can't fudge it. You can't fake it. He knows me. He knows you. I mean, deep, deep down, he knows. But all he's asking for is the truth, because the truth, when I know the truth, it sets me free. And when he comes to this, he comes, you know, he heals a guy that's blind, and you know, he's telling, he tells him, you know, the Son of Man comes, the judge, and, you know, to open the eyes of the blind. And they said, oh, are we blind? No, yeah. He said, yeah, you're blind, but because you say you see, I can't help you. He couldn't help the Pharisees because they didn't think anything was wrong with them. Amen? He couldn't help those because they didn't think they needed anything. And they needed. Amen? They were a bunch of whitewashed sepulchers, hypocrites. Okay, how about, and I'm going to go through these examples quick because of time. But now, God, you know, he said, you know, God gave, the Father gave him this ability. Well, if I have the ability to do something, I should be just do it. Well, how about Jesus has the ability to, when he's being tempted in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's hungry, right? And the devil comes to him and says, well, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into bread. My question is, do you think Jesus could do it? Yes. Huh? Yeah. Yes. All right, we won't go there, but that's in Luke 3, 1 through 4. 22. We go to Luke 22, 42. We're not going to go there either, but that's when Jesus is in the garden. We all know this, you know, and he says, you know, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then we have the heroic effort of Peter cutting off somebody's ear. And then Jesus says to him, don't you know, and then I'm paraphrasing this, I could pray and my Father would give me 12 legions of angels. I really don't think it would take that many. Do you think it, Bill? I think one would probably
I'm
do.
thinking it might do it.
Yeah, a little bit overdue. But he's emphasizing the fact that, don't you know that I could ask my Father and he would presently give me 12 legion of angels? He didn't say, well, no, my Father wouldn't give it to me because it's not as. But he didn't do it. He could have done it, but he didn't do it. Why didn't he do it? Because he loved his Father and he loved us. Amen? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. Amen? So he didn't lie to him when he said, I could have, don't you know, I could ask my Father for 10, 12 legions of angels and he would give them to me? So he was well able to deliver himself, but he didn't do it. Amen? Amen? He could have talked himself out of being crucified too because he's wisdom. He has all wisdom. I mean, come on. So anyway, they're just examples. Okay, John 6:38. Let's go there. John 6:38. For I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is another indication to us that Jesus did actually come in the flesh. Because if he was just in the spirit, then he hadn't laid aside all his glory and all that stuff. His will would have been like his Father's. But he had a flesh. So he says, not, I didn't come down to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. 7, John 7, 16. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but it's his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. The key is, if any man will do his will, if any man wants to do God's will, not his own will, but God's will, he'll know of the doctrine, whether the doctrine is true or not, and whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. Jesus didn't come to glorify himself, he came to glorify the Father, but the Father is there to glorify the Son. They all work together, and the Holy Spirit's here to glorify the Son, and that's what we're here to glorify his name. Hallelujah. So, if any man wants to know the will of God more than anything else, you're going to know it. I'm going to know it. It's when I'm deceived in my heart and I don't really want to know what God's will is. I really don't want to know. When we were going to move up here from where we lived, we felt that God wanted us to go, but then we kept going back and forth. Well, maybe that's just a coincidence. I'd ask God for a sign, and he'd give me one, and I'd say, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And the next day, it's nah. I kept going back and forth and back and forth. It was a year. And man, I wasn't worth anything to anybody. I didn't know if I was supposed to be here, where I was supposed to be there. Whatever I said, the devil went on the other side. And it was like, oh man, I should leave. And then the other, no, you shouldn't leave. And the people in the church didn't want us to leave because it didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to me either. But after a year, I finally gave in and said, well, I just feel like God wants us to go. There wasn't any physical reason to go. There wasn't any work here. I didn't know if there was any church here. Where we were going to church, I thought that was the only church, because what I came out of. And so I just didn't want to leave the church because nobody wanted, and they didn't want me to leave. And isn't that strange? And so, you know, there's just, it was just, but when we made the decision, then I had this peace came, and we moved. And so God was faithful. It wasn't easy, but God was faithful. So if we want to know the truth, the reason it took me a year was because I really didn't want to accept the truth. Okay, let's go to Matthew 6. Jump back to Matthew 6. A lot of times we don't move in what we should be moving or doing what we should be doing because we don't think that we could do it. You know, I can't do that. It's impossible. I don't know how I would ever be able to do that. I can't. We look at ourselves where we're at right now, and we're not to do that. We'll look at what he's saying to us because God's always out. He's always talking out there because he wants us to press towards that mark and to seek him and to ask him and to knock because then he'll open the door to us. But it's through faith and it's through patience that we inherit promises. It's always the same. Very seldom is it, oh, I see it and I got it. I shared this before. I went to the hospital one time and seen this guy that was. He was in one side of the hall and his wife was in the other side. And I went in to see him. He had a sixth grade education and he had trouble with his leg there at an accident. Anyway, I come in to see him and he said, you know, I forget what he called me, but anyway, he says, you know what? He says, I was thinking. He says, I believe God showed me that if he answered every prayer like that, we wouldn't need any faith. I looked at him and thinking, I didn't want to encourage that, but then I thought, the more I thought about it, faith is a substance of things hoped for. So if you have it in Romans 8, why do you yet hope for it? So we only need faith when we don't have it. And faith comes by hearing. And so if God's going to talk to us like he did to Abraham, in blessing, I'm going to bless you, and in multiply, I'm going to multiply you. But yet it didn't happen the next day. He didn't wake up the next day with 25 kids. You know, it just didn't happen that easy. And then when he does die, he only has one seed of promise. One. But he died in faith. Amen? Amen? And so what's he get for that? He got this honor. He's the father of the faithful. Father of the faithful. He's our father of the faith. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, can't judge things with normal judgment, not with, we're going to use righteous. Okay, 633. Familiar verse to us. Jesus says, seek ye first. Seek ye first, not second, third, fourth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because all these things, and then all these things, all these other things, your cares, your worries, your provision, your clothes, your house, your money, all this other stuff will be added unto you. Well, boy, what do I do? What do I do? What do you want me to do? Well, I want you to do is seek my kingdom and his righteousness. And the Amplified puts it this way, his way of doing and being right. So, in essence, we go back to it's doing what God wants us to do when God wants us to do it. Children of Israel going into the promised land. They send in the spies. They come back and 10 of them give a bad report, two of them give a good report. And so the people believe the majority, the polls say, we're not going in. And so they don't go in. It displeased God. Amen. He was mad. And he was going to wipe them out. Moses stood in the gap. He didn't wipe them out. The next day, they thought it over and they said, you know what? We're here. We're going to go up. We're going to do it. And so Moses says, don't go. Because it isn't going to work. It's not going to turn out good. Yeah, but yesterday, you know, we realized that now that we should have went. And so we're going to go. No, don't go. Because God is not going to go with you. Amen? So it isn't saying, well, this is what he said yesterday. This is what he said 2 days ago. What's he saying to today? God really wants to walk with me. He really wants to walk with you and talk with you and come in with an intimate fellowship with you. And that takes me dying. And I'm not there yet. But I want to know. I want to be there. I want to be there where I'm just like, I get like Abraham and he says, sacrifice. David doesn't want it, but sacrifice your son, your only son. And he doesn't argue with God about it like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. What if there's 10 there, right? Would you kill it? Would you destroy all those people for 10? I mean, this is his son. This is the seed of promise. How about Isaac? Or how about Ishmael? You know, I mean, he just does it. Can't figure that out. I bet you it was God working in him both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? Amen? Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with, no, I'm going to another one in Colossians, that if you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So it is God who works in you. It is God who wants to work in me so that I am fruitful into a lot of good works. No, into every good work. Not just any good work, but every good work that God preordained for you to walk in. And don't believe me, it's going to be enough. It's going to be exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think, because you're listening to God. And God doesn't think the way I think. He's up here, man. Right? Go in and possess the land. But there's no place for us to go in. It's filled. And there's walled cities, and the giants are there, and all this and that and everything. There's no Walmart. I mean, but all they needed was God. Amen? Amen? All they needed was God. And all that we need so much to see that God wants to do these things. And I just got to humble myself, it says, and submit myself to God. And then I can resist the devil, and he'll flee from me. Because I'm being obedient to God. Okay, so seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. Okay, we go to 6 to 7. He says, judge not that you be not judged. We saw John 5 that he says, my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. God does want us to judge, but not in the flesh, in the spirit. He told, Paul said, you know, we're to judge them in the church. God will take care of them on the outside. But he never meant for them to judge in the flesh. And it's so easy for us to judge in the flesh. It's so natural. You know what I mean? Look what they're wearing. You know, look at this or look at that. But don't do it, okay? Because that's going to separate me from God. It's going to... Anytime I get in the flesh, it separates me from God. It separates. And then we can't hear God. And then we say, well, God's not telling me what to do. Maybe there's something in the way. You know, sin separates us from God. Okay, well, jump here. We'll jump some things here. Let's go to 7th chapter 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It means they're seeking. And he's told them before, just be above this, ask, seek, and knock. You got to keep going in, drawing closer to him. The only thing you can do when you coast is you go downhill. You go down, not up the stream. You shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot, this is neat, I just think this is so, a good tree cannot, even if it tried, bring forth evil fruit. Wow! Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So each one is, you can't do, one can't do one and one can't do the other. I want to be the good tree. Amen. So every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now many will say to me in that day, not just a few, but many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name we've cast out devils. And in your name we've done many wonderful works. To me it's like, we've done all these things and we deserve it, man. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers, ye that work iniquity, or lawless ones. Lawless, not under authority. The army's not what it used to be. But Alex can't do anything he thinks he wants to do. He has to do what they tell you to do, right? Do they still tell you what to wear every day?
Talk about the army or being married.
I'm not stepping in that. Hey, when we were in basic training, it's things I remember that they'll never get out of my mind. I don't know if it'll be up there in heaven, but anyway, first time we went out in the range, you know, firing a rifle, a lot of people never fired a rifle before, never, you know, been around a rifle or anything like that. Never say gun. Okay. Anyway, one of the things they want to teach you is not to point it at anybody, you know. Well, first they give you blank rounds, you know. And then so then they say that you're going to graduate to the place where you don't know if it's a blank round or not, because they want to see if you're going to flinch. You know, you're going to flinch because of the thing bucket. So this is what I remember. Lock and load, one live or dummy round. And so you got these sergeants, you know, walking in back. The guys are down on the ground, and they're supposed to be facing the target. And once in a while, somebody, it wasn't me, would turn around, hey, sergeant, and whack! I mean, it was like, now I think those sergeants must have been like, oh, no, we're going to the range today with these newies. They'd watch it. They're watching, you know. And so you pull the trigger. And so you pull the trigger, and if you went like this and it was a dummy round, then you're a dummy. You know? They wanted to see if you're anticipating the buck, you know. And then they had this sergeant, you know, he's going to say, there's no kick to this thing. And he put it on automatic, and he stuck it on his stomach, and he's a see, there's no kick to it. I don't know what he had under his dicks, because there was a kick to it, you know what I mean? But anyway, they had authority. They gave us these rifles. But we had to learn how to use them, amen? Yes, we had to learn how to use them and not point them at people. What was that you said, Sergeant? So anyway, now here we are. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, Shonikin, but he does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let's go to 13, Matthew 13, 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that beareth fruit, heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bring forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But by our fruits, you know, by their fruits you shall know them, whether they're true prophets or not. And when he says about the kingdom, he's talking about the kingdom, and he says that in the end time, when the tares and they sowed tares among the wheat and they grew up, and he said, well, wait till they grow up, and then at harvest time, send forth the angels. And the angel will go through and take everything out of the kingdom that offends and iniquity. Everything that offends and is iniquity. And that iniquity there means lawlessness. everything that is lawless, everything that isn't doing God's will. And it, the other week when we read this, it struck me. I never noticed that before. But it wasn't the taking it out of the earth. It was taking it out of his kingdom. They that didn't do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. So it alludes back to Matthew 7, where it says, many are going to say unto me that we've done this in your name, we've done that in your name. They have authority. If you can believe, all things are possible. Jesus could have turned a stone into bread. Jesus could have called for 12 legions of angels. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? Amen? We are here to do the will of the Father. We are here to accomplish the works that God has given us to do. And I'm going to give you a scripture for that in a minute. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Now we want to concentrate on the fact these are offerings and sacrifices. Forget about the goats and the bulls and all that other stuff. But the offerings and sacrifices. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The first is the sacrifice and the offerings. So by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Amen? So you can't give enough. You can't heal enough. You can't do anything that's going to get you into heaven except doing the will of your Father who is in heaven. Remember those who did what was good and those who did what was evil. Well, this is good and this is evil. Yeah, but what you're going by is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's not what God's going by. God's going by the fact that are you doing what I'm telling you to do? Are you doing what I've called you to do? Look at work. What if at work you start looking over at your neighbor and say, they're not doing that right? And so you go over there and you start working in his position, and the boss comes to your foreman, comes around and says, what are you doing here? Well, he wasn't doing it right. So, yeah, but what about your position? Well, I had to get him straightened out. You're going to get straightened out straight out the door, right? You're there to do the will of him who paying you, right? So we're here to do the will of him that sent us. He is sending you. He is sending me. Well, I don't know where he's sending me. Well, you got to find out. Yeah, but that's too hard. I mean, I know he wants to do good. Yeah, but you're going to figure out what's good and what's evil. So you're not going to go into the desert when he says go into the desert, when you got a revival going on. And you're not going to say the thing that you should say to the right person to say it to. You're going to get it wrong. Because without him, Jesus said, without him, I can do nothing. Well, guess what I can do without him? I can do a lot of messing up. And I've messed up. I've done things that I thought were really good. And they turned around to bite me. And when you get there on that day, and you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you can't go there and say, well, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this in your name. That doesn't hold water. Did you do what I wanted you to do? Did you do what I've called you to do? See, because Jesus came and he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By which will? We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So, through the blood, we know this. You know, we know, well, yeah, Jesus had to go to the cross. So when Peter says, not you, Lord, not you, because, I mean, it would make sense if you were Peter and you didn't know, you know. No, don't go anywhere, because we see the mighty things you do. We see the miracles, the raising of the dead, the lame walk, the blind see. I mean, we can't even do all the things that you're doing. And we need you here. But if he would have stayed there, we would have stayed where we were in sin. Amen? We might have been good Pharisees. I mean, there were good Pharisees. They're good people. Even Cornelius. But without the blood, there's no remission of sins. Amen? Jesus had to die. Why? Because that was the will of the Father concerning him. Amen? Well, yeah, he had to fulfill all righteousness because it was written in, you know, in the prophets. And, you know, he even said, you know, is there anybody who has money, go out and buy a sword? Because we have to have swords because it's written of me. You know, he was known among the criminals. Or, you know, I can't remember the verse back, but, you know, you have to have swords. Oh, here's two. Well, that's enough. Because he wanted to fulfill all righteousness, everything that was written about him. Amen? So you and I, we think that I'm going along through my life, and, you know, since I received Christ as my Savior, and I'm trying to figure out what's the best thing to do with my life. And God says, I got a plan for you tomorrow. I know exactly where I want you to go, what I want you to do, and I know where you're going to be at, and I know where what you can do, and I know what you can handle, what you can't handle, and I'm going to provide whatever you need to meet that need. So you're going to meet this guy, and you might be in a mall, you might be somewhere else, and the guy's in a wheelchair, or a guy's blind or something, all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, go over there and touch that man. And if he tells you to say anything, you can say it, but it doesn't matter. Whatever he tells you to do, it's not going to take 5 hours. It's going to take a touch from God, because it isn't you. You're just the vehicle. Amen? Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus said to the guy, it's been there for 38 years. Wilt thou be made whole? Well, you don't understand. I can't get in there when the water's troubled. I didn't ask you that. Do you want to be made whole? Yeah, all right. Take up your bed and walk. It cannot be that simple. Right? Well, you study the scriptures, and then I'll be back in a month, and then we'll pray for you. He just did it! Why did he do it? Because it was, he saw his Father work, and he worked. I want to see some things. I want to see some things. Okay, turn with me to Galatians 5. We're wrapping up here. Galatians 5:4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. We're going back to Hebrews. You that are justified by sacrifices and offerings, Jesus done away with that. That doesn't mean we don't do things. It doesn't mean we don't give any offerings. This is a church, okay. No, it isn't that. It's the fact that we're not putting our trust in that. That's not why we're not giving offerings to get into heaven or to get somebody else into heaven. We're doing it because we want to give it. Amen? We want to do it. But when God, and we try to do whatever God wants me to do, you know, whatever I feel that God wants me to do, I'm trying to be led by the Spirit. Amen? And not by the letter. 10. That's a law. Don't be led by the law, okay? Because, look, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. It isn't that they're doing something evil. They're trying to keep a law. They're trying to substitute the law for the blood of Christ, and that is evil. That's evil in the sight of God. That's not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For we through the Spirit wait What? I got to wait for this? Wait for the hope, the expectation of righteousness that comes by believing in God's promises. Amen? And that takes faith and patience. Now. Somebody said lust was, I got to have it and I got to have it. Amen? Who doesn't want it now? Everybody wants it now. But through faith and patience, they inherited the promises. And we're told that God would strengthen us in Colossians. He'd strengthen us with all might according to his glorious power and all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. That's a miracle. Come on, amen? Amen. But nobody wants to wait, right? Even at Dunkin' Donuts, right, Jennifer? Yeah. Wants to wait. Even at Slick's Ivy Stone, nobody wants to wait. She knows that very well. Okay. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but it's faith that works by love. Loving God, loving one another. And if I love God, I'll do what he wants me to do when he wants me to do it. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you, but a little leaveneth, leavens the whole lump. I mean, it just ruins the whole thing. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. But these thoughts bring they trouble us. They keep us from being what God wants us to be. And all the time, these people were trying to be better Christians. They're trying to be better. Better. Jesus paid it all. All to him. If they could be better in the flesh, what's that going to lead to?
Pride.
Pride. Automatically. Because if you were like me, you would be able to do this, brother. Yeah. Now. So, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? All he had to do was stop preaching against circumcision and just ignore it, and he wouldn't be persecuted. But he had to preach that. Why? Because God wanted him. That was God's will. Amen? Amen? All they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why? Because you're doing the will of the Father, and that's a direct opposite of the will of the God of this world. So you and I are enemies of Satan, and he's our enemy. Amen? Because we want to do his will. My flesh still wants to do the other will. But I got to bring that into captivity. I got to put those things to death. I would they were even cut off. 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you consume one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do. These are the contrary, the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. Now this is just the. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law. If you're being led, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're letting the Spirit guide you, you're not under a law. And it's a law of liberty that's in Christ Jesus.
The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus.
It's made you free from the law of sin and death. You have a liberty to do whatever God wants you to do. That's your righteousness. Amen? My righteousness doesn't depend, my degree of righteousness isn't a missionary. I want to be a missionary. That's the greatest. Or a pastor, or this, or that, or the other thing. It's whatever God has called you to. If you fulfill that will, that's why I believe 30, 60, 100 fold is how many of the works are you fulfilling that God has already planned for you to walk in? How many of them have I missed? How many have I actually hit, like on that game, you know? I missed that one. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. You know, and it goes through the works of the flesh, right? And guess what comes up next? But the fruit of the, you shall know them by their fruit. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to produce fruit, and that fruit is going to be the fruit of the Spirit. And it's what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You're walking in the Spirit. You're doing what God wants you to do when God wants you to do it, just like Jesus did. The Father never leaves me. He doesn't leave me because I always do those things that please Him. I want to be pleasing, right? You want to be pleasing? Amen? Yeah. Ephesians, we're getting close. One more, two more verses. Ephesians chapter 2. And I got to read this in the NIV. Okay, this is the NIV chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I'm going to do this slow. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. So it isn't just like, well, I'm doing this today, I'm doing that today, I'm doing whatever. God has prepared ahead of time the works that He wants you and I to do. And that's part of my job, is to seek, what is your will? You know, isn't that what we pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. And start it with me. Amen. I want to do your will, O God. He cometh to, he establishes the second, that He may do away with the first. Not sacrifice and offerings. I just want you to do what I tell you to do. I want you to walk with me. I want you to talk with me. I want to have a walking fellowship with you. And this is what you're to press towards. So this is what the thing is in Ephesians. These works that God has prepared for us to do. And then back to Romans. This is the last one. Romans 12. You all know this one. I'm not going to read that, I think, in the NIV. Therefore, this is NIV. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship. So, through the mercies of God, we're able to do what He wants us to do and to be what He wants us to be. But again, it's being sober, it's being vigilant. It's believing in God. It's believing that He that started a good work in me is able to finish it. I ain't there yet. Well, that doesn't mean you can't get there. It just means that God wants to, you know, He wants to show Himself strong in getting you there. Because He chose the weak things, chose the things that are not, to confound the things that are. Amen? So that's us, folks. He wants to glorify His name in you and in me. We are here to bring glory and honor and praise to God. Amen? Father, we just thank You and we praise You, Father. We thank You that You've called us out of the darkness into Your marvelous light. And we thank You, Lord, it says in Your word, and we don't understand this, that You chose us even before the foundations of the world. I just can't understand that. I don't know how that works with me choosing or accepting You as my Savior, but that's what it says. And God, so sometimes it's hard on my flesh to see that You've already preordained for me to walk in some works. Maybe later today or maybe tomorrow, You already have it written down what You want me to do. And I just need to follow Your Spirit, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, Your sons. And that's what You called us, sons of God. We desire to glorify Your name. God, I want it. We want it. Stand with me if you want to commit yourself to God, as a commitment to God. You're doing this trusting in God that He's going to help you be and do what you should do. Father, we want to offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto You, which is our reasonable service or spiritual worship. It's not something extraordinary. It's something that You require. It's something that every Christian should do. And God, we do it not believing in our steadfastness, not believing in our ability, believing in Your promises. That whatever we ask in Jesus' name, whatever we ask according to Your will, we know that You hear us. And if we know that You hear us, then we know that we have the petitions we desired of You. And You said that we could be confident of this very thing. You that begun a good work in us, You're going to perform it, which means to perfect it, to complete it, unto the day of Jesus Christ. You said that You were able to keep us from falling. You were able to present us faultless before Your presence with exceeding joy. You said You would, in Thessalonians, establish us in every good word and work. We are called believers. And we are believers in Your ability. And we believe what You've said. And so we confess it today. We want to be that. Do it, Lord. Do it in our hearts. Work in us that what needs to be worked in us. Bring us to that place where we're giving ourselves to You totally.